to Discover Health, where we help you take control of your health so you can transform your life. Your host, functional medicine expert, Dr. Trish Murray, is on a mission to help every baby boomer age with dignity and grace.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this podcast with my good friend and patient for a number of years, Jeannie Primo. Hi, Jeannie. How are you doing today?
Good morning. Real well, thanks.
Good. Well, Jeannie has agreed to come on this podcast with me, folks, and she's been a patient for a number of years, and the main reason she agreed to come on with me is she's been so successful that she really wants to be able to share with people what our mission is about, and the idea that you truly can empower yourself to succeed. And this is truly going to be from a patient's perspective. So I am so excited that you're here, Jeannie, to let people know how positive life has changed for you and how much you have realized. And as you said to me earlier, a light bulb has come on that you know, a number of years ago now, that you really could take control of your health.
And I'm really happy to share my journey with your listeners.
That's awesome. So why don't we start from the beginning? What motivated you to come see us and seek out our assistance at Discover Health?
Well, like so many people, I think I was just unhappy with who I was and how I felt. I felt that I was overweight. I felt that I didn't have enough energy, that I had brain fog. I couldn't think clearly. I wasn't motivated in my life. And the final straw that broke the camel's back was when I went to my doctor for the umpteenth time, and I left with two more prescriptions in my hand. Mm. And I realized that every time I went to my doctor, I left with yet another prescription. And I just said, I can't do this anymore. I'm not getting better. I'm on a slippery slope. I'm just, you know, adding more prescriptions every visit. And there has to be a better way.
Mm. So when you first came to us, Jean, first of all, how many prescription medicines were you on?
11.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. And what types of diagnoses did you have? You know, what uniforms, yeah. What diagnoses did
started,
you have?
You know, it started with asthma when I was in my 30s, and then high blood pressure, and then high cholesterol, then prediabetes led to diabetes, and then thyroid. And I just didn't want to know what was next.
And you know, that is so common for so many Americans and people in actually any industrialized country in the world, because our industrialized worlds are so full of toxins and so full of fast foods and so full of foods that are packaged. And that's really what we educate people about. But as you said, it's a slippery slope to the grave for many people. And it's so sad. So how did you get started?
Well, I got started by coming to see you and attending way back 4 years ago when you first started giving lectures that were open to the public and explaining about gut health and about the fact that wheat and gluten holding products can affect you, or dairy products can affect you, or toxins in the environment and things that I hadn't considered, processed foods could affect your health. So it started with attending a lecture of yours and finally seeing that there was somebody that had something new to offer, not just another pill. Then I went home after my first visit here, and I cleaned out my cupboards. And I boxed up everything that wasn't healthy, that had too much sugar, too many carbs, or too many additives and preservatives. And I opened my refrigerator and did the same thing and found all the hidden sugars in my ketchup and my pickles and my mustard. And pretty much when I was done, there wasn't a whole lot left to eat. And I was a little concerned that my usual numbers of foods I could select from had sort of dwindled. Yet I've come to realize that those are the things I should be eating, and I'm happy to be eating them now. Then I went online and I started looking for healthy recipes, and I developed a whole notebook of possibilities for new breakfast ideas and healthy lunches and snacks on the go and things like that. And the last thing I did was I bought a notebook, and I decided to track my progress. And so I began every day tracking my blood sugar, my blood pressure, my weight, whether I exercised and how much, what I ate for my meals, and how I felt that day. So I kept a journal, and I found it very, very helpful, because I can go back now and see how I started and see how far I've come. And it really surprises me.
That's great. Now, a journal, that is a huge piece, because then you're holding yourself accountable. And yes, the idea of, as we go through this, maybe we'll keep track of the different tools that you seem to use so that the listeners can say, oh, well, I don't do that, or yes, I do do that, mm-hmm, kind of thing. So a journal is huge, ladies and gentlemen, for you to be able, you know, if we say it and we say, well, I eat pretty good and, you know, I know how to eat right. I've heard that a lot from people. But as you say, you know, you went home and you truly look through your cupboards and you look through your refrigerator, and then you realize, well, oh, wait a minute.
Most of this I shouldn't be eating.
And now it's like empty. And then you realize, okay, well, then I can start from here. And then the other thing was to keep the journal and to write things down. What am I doing and what am I not doing? And therefore, then you can take control.
And how am I feeling? Because there are ups and downs. There are times when you're frustrated. The holidays are difficult. But just putting it down on paper and being able to refer to it, because I have hit some plateaus. And what's helped me is to go back and remember what recipes I was making back when I was successful, or what I was doing that was different, and just going back to the beginning.
Yeah. And I remember also in the very beginning, about 4 years ago, that was when we did our first group visit type thing, or group community gathering where people work together. And back then we called it the Walls Protocol, because we used Dr. Terry Walls's protocol. Can you comment on how powerful that group was for you? Because there's so many people that from that group always come back and say that was such a powerful thing for them.
That was an amazing group of people that committed 3 months or 4 months.
I think it was three.
3 months of following one of the three levels of Terry Walls' paleo protocol and sticking with it and meeting, sharing ideas, sharing recipes. We got weighed and measured. It was a real sense of togetherness. And some of us have bonded so much that we still get together this day.
That's awesome.
And it taught us about the journaling. It taught us about certain aspects that we didn't think about, like the infrared sauna and the exercise component, which has been huge for me. And we read chapters in the book and we discussed chapters in the book. People brought things like chicken feet to share.
Oh, that's right.
And recipes and ideas where to pick blueberries, joining up with other people to go apple picking, the CSAs.
Yeah, community supported agriculture.
We
yeah.
had speakers. We learned about the health benefits of mushrooms. And it just was so inspiring, and it kept us going and moving forward.
Yeah, because we now do group visits on a regular basis for at least 5 weeks at a time. People can do one or multiple, but the bottom line is that idea that people are supporting and learning together. Mm-hmm. So that as you're trying to get your crutches together, and then you're, you know, going to a cane, if you will, with the concept of on your own ability to be completely independent, you're able to kind of lean on some of the other people and learn from each other. But then you obviously have been flying independent for a while as far as what you're doing.
Well, I do have my support system. My children, they're married. They support what I'm doing. And when I visit, I've told them to make sure there's no ice cream in the fridge and that we eat healthy. They know that they need to cook healthy meals with me and get more exercise. We walk, go for walks. And so they're supportive. And then the interesting thing is I have found that I'm gravitating towards other people to have a healthier lifestyle. So my friends have changed somewhat. And I hang out with people that are doing things similar to me. We go picking berries. We go for hikes. And we do healthier things than sitting and watching movies and eating popcorn.
That's so awesome. And that's exactly what people learn as we move along, is that, and it's not like you made a choice to be more healthy.
Yes.
And the other things just sort of start to happen naturally, don't they?
Well, the final thing is that when you come to Discover Health, it's not like a doctor's visit where you have one visit and then you don't come back for 6 months. There's always something here to bring you back. There's the podcast. There's the webinars. There's potlucks. There's lab reviews. There's lectures. There's something, it seems, every month that can keep you in touch. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, and thank you. And we also, I encourage people to, that's another tool, if you will, or concept, to be successful. You actually have to engross yourself mm-hmm. in the lifestyle change, in the mm-hmm. fact of your new life, that everything you focus on is about being as healthy and active and well-rounded as you possibly can. And so, yes, that's why I do the podcast, and that's why I do the webinar, and that's why we're doing, for example, tomorrow night, the community gathering, where we will feed everyone and people will have fun together and do icebreaker activities, because we want to build a community, and the community where everyone is successful and we all bring up the weakest link, if you will. So that's great. So, Jean, what was the most challenging change you had to make?
Well, my most challenging change was not snacking. I was brought up to believe that your body was a furnace and you need to stoke it constantly throughout the day. And so I would snack all the time thinking that that's what you were supposed to do. And it's quite a habit to break. Now I'm eating three meals a day and I do not snack. But in the evening after dinner, I still sometimes want to get up out of the chair and go look snooping for something. So snacking was huge for me. And snacking's really bad for me, I find.
And snacking actually, unless someone really has an issue medically, for example, with low blood sugar, or if someone has, you know, something like hypothyroid, where you don't really want to go too many hours between meals. I mean, three meals a day, solid meals a day should be fine for anyone with low thyroid. But let's say someone's trying to go 12 hours between meals, you know, and only two meals a day. Someone early on with hypothyroidism, that might not be the best idea. But for the majority of us, and even someone well-controlled on thyroid and has made a lot of the changes you have and have come to a balance, then possibly doing even two meals a day or three round meals a day is fine. And this concept of intermittent fasting is actually the most, what's found to be the most healthy.
And I have done that.
Yeah. Because you were doing a keto.
I did keto for 2 months. My weight had hit a plateau. Everything seemed to be stuck. Mm-hmm. And I thought that keto would be a good way to jog my body back into action, because I think my body had figured out what I was doing, eating healthy and all, and it decided to adapt and adjust. And so I had to trick it into thinking it didn't know what I was doing. And I ate keto, and I actually enjoyed it very much. But I didn't know if I could stay on a ketogenic diet forever. It was a lot of planning and meal preparation, and it was a little difficult, like eating out, going to social events. But I'm very close to keto the way I eat right now anyways.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of an overlap between paleo and keto and the idea of low or no carbs and much more protein and good healthy fats with a foundation of color and fruits and vegetables, but the lower glycemic fruits like berries. So that's awesome. Now, Gina, we really haven't said to folks yet, let's take a minute and make sure people realize how successful you have been. So you started out on 11 prescription medicines. Mm-hmm. How many prescription medicines are you on now?
Well, I'm still on 5 of them.
Okay, but you cut out 6. You're on less than 50. Yes. You cut out more than 50% of my prescription medicines.
My cholesterol is normal. My blood sugar is getting better. My blood pressure is much better. So I've seen good results in my blood work.
And then how much weight have you lost?
I have lost 68 pounds in four years nicely and slowly so that I'll keep it off.
Awesome. And how about your energy?
Tremendous. In fact, before I came here, I just finished 4 hours of heavy yard work and I'm not even tired.
That's awesome.
I could not walk around my block 4 years ago without resting when I got home.
Wow. And then also, if you don't mind, I mean, I know women don't like to tell their age, but is it all right if we ask you your age so people know?
I'm 71, and my primary care doctor says that I'm her only patient that is getting younger, not older.
That's awesome.
Thrills me to hear that.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And she has really come on board. She's always supported me throughout this process, although we've had a few arguments about certain medications or blood tests I wanted her to run, and she would if I justified them, but she is so on board and supportive.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You want to find, if you are working out there, folks, with a primary care who is a functional medicine provider, then obviously that's the optimal world. But if you're working with someone like myself, who I'm a doctor of osteopathic medicine, and I was a primary care doc in the past, but I'm out independently on my own, So it's very difficult for me to be a primary care doc. So I just choose not to be and to remain a specialist within the functional medicine world and the osteopathic manipulative medicine world. So each of my patients is required to have a primary care doctor. And it's obviously optimal if we can find one that will work collaboratively with our concepts. And Jean has been lucky enough to find that with Dr. Hamilton here in Conway, New Hampshire. So that's fantastic. So Jean, how do you stay on track?
I stay on track because I reflect back. I can't have a picture of myself at my highest weight. I was up 248 pounds, and I don't even look like myself. People can't even recognize me from my picture. So that's on my fridge. I also have my creed on my fridge, which I, my mission statement, so to speak. And I review that from time to time. And then because I'm out and about a lot and people are complimenting me as they see me lose the weight and asking me how I've done it and making me feel good, that positive reinforcement. There's nothing like praise and encouragement to keep you going. And I have had trouble at the holidays, but whereas I used to think like, oh, it's all over, I may as well go get ice cream because I blew it, I don't go as far out of off the deep end as I used to, and I catch myself quicker and I forgive myself. Or sometimes I knowingly go into a situation deciding up front, you know, I'm going to have this, and that's all I'm going to have, and it's fine.
And that's fine for people, and that's what people also have to understand, is that it's habitual lifestyle changes takes time. You may be sometimes going to take 3 steps forward and 2 steps back. Sometimes you're going to take 1 step forward and 3 steps back. But the point is, you get back on the horse, you keep looking forward. Now, you mentioned this idea just now. I'd love for folks to hear more about this, your mission statement. I love that. What is that? And then will you share, how did it come about? And then will you share it with folks?
Well, sometimes when I'm having a tough time, I say to myself, how bad do you really want this? How bad do you really want to feel better and get better and live long enough to enjoy your grandchildren and be around and have a good quality of life? And if you really want it bad enough, then you know what to do. So I sat down one day when I was feeling really impassioned and I wrote down my mission statement, which is from the heart. And it says, I want to improve my health, starting at the cellular level. My job is to facilitate my body's incredible healing abilities by providing it with the best nutrition possible, so that my faulty and broken cells can be replaced with healthy ones that will become the building blocks to better health. As I work at promoting healthier cells and organs in my body, I will also use exercise and stress reduction to be the best me I can be. Better health does not happen by chance. It happens by change.
Wow. Yeah. That is so powerful.
It moves me every time I read it, because it took me a long time to realize that, that I could do it.
Yeah, you said in the beginning a light bulb came on. Mm-hmm. Comment on that for folks, that all of a sudden you said when you came here, you said, well, wait a minute.
It's easy to say I'm going to lose weight and I'm not going to eat, you know, sweets anymore. But those cravings are just undeniable. Mm-hmm. They're like an addiction. And so when I came here and realized that you could lose the cravings, that certain foods created cravings. Potato chip manufacturers know that we're going to crave more than one, and sugar makes you crave. As soon as I could get rid of my cravings, then I didn't have any problem with eating healthy. I could never walk by a dessert table without wanting one of everything. And now I don't even need to go to the dessert table. And I find that amazing.
Yeah, and I think the other thing for folks to understand and to emphasize on the point you're making right now, Jean, is that not only is it the food like the potato chip makers, like you say, and the commercial food producers putting more sugar in food so that we become addicted. What people also need to understand is that what you feed your microbiome, the bacteria that you live in a symbiotic relationship with, is determining which bugs you're living in that symbiotic relationship with. And those bugs then want you to feed them what they want. So some of those cravings are coming actually also from your microbiome if you have the wrong bugs running your neighborhood, the wrong gang. And so that gang is also pushing you around a little bit. So I guess my point here is that for people, sometimes it could be an eye-opener to say, well, wait a minute, I don't want the bacteria and yeast that I'm living in relationship with to be telling me what to eat. So it's, you're going to have to really stand up to them because they can be pretty darn pushy. And they're causing, my point is they're causing your cravings. And if you realize that, it's like, well, wait a minute, I want to be in control here, not, you know, the companies making the food and not the bugs that are living in and on me.
Well, it may be mad that food manufacturers know what they're doing and they're making us want to buy more and eat more. And I look around and the American population is just getting heavier and moving less. And I just didn't want to be one of the sheep.
Mm. Yeah. Well, good for you. So you talked about support and a support system. So do you want to comment more about that with folks?
Well, just that there's more and more awareness, especially in this area because of you and your message, there's more and more awareness in the media that we need to eat healthier, we need to avoid processed foods. And so I find it easy to find people who are supportive of what I'm doing as well as the new friends I've met. And finding stores to shop at to buy the products, more and more grocery stores are adding healthier foods and sections that are gluten-free. And carrying almond milk and coconut milk, and finding restaurants that have gluten-free meals and healthier meals to eat at. So I just find that there's support everywhere if you know where to look and if you ask around.
That's great. How about, has anything about this journey surprised you?
I'm surprised looking back at how easy it is now. It wasn't easy in the beginning. It took a lot of adjustments. If you're used to always having bacon and eggs and toast for breakfast. I mean, it's an adjustment to change what you eat in the morning and how you fuel your body. But today, 4 years later, it's come so naturally to me to eat right. And so I have changed that habit completely.
Yeah.
And then that it works. It really does work.
And the fact that, you know, if people look in the mirror, I say once, it's first every day, every once a week at least, but as time goes by, it's like if you look in the mirror once a month, once every couple months, and you say to yourself, wow, not just looking physically, but the idea, if you think to yourself, what's working, what's not working, and you say to yourself, wow, I don't eat any of, for example, that anymore, or I'm able to do, look at the level of exercise I'm able to do, and look at, you know, how much more happy I am, or, you know, and there are other, obviously going to be things that you may say, well, I'm not doing this, or I'm not doing that yet. And then you make your new decisions and your new goals because we're constantly changing our goals and things. But that's another question about exercise. In the beginning, what level of exercise were you doing and how is that different now?
Well, I hold you responsible. Most doctors will not say to you, you need to lose weight, you need to exercise. They're so afraid of offending us nowadays that they won't say what needs to be said. And I'll never forget that you said to me, Jean, I want you to pick an exercise to do. And I don't want you to just tell me you're going to do it. Pick something you're really going to do. Mm. Because I can talk a good story, but the follow through isn't great.
Yeah.
So I thought to myself, well, what's the easiest exercise I can do? And I chose water aerobics. And it was a very good start for me because when you exercise in the water, you have more flexibility. You can do things that you can't do on land. I can do deep squats and I can twist further and jump higher. And so that was a really good exercise that was easy on my weights. Then I started doing bone builders because I thought that would be easy. It's for seniors. I thought it would be a bunch of little old ladies sitting in a chair. And when I went the first time, I was shocked what they could do that I couldn't even do. And I was younger than them. And they use arm weights and leg weights and use a program designed specifically for seniors by Tufts University for flexibility and strength and resistance. And 4 years later, I am now the leader of the Bone Builders
class. Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
Congratulations.
And I graduated from no weights up to 3 pound weights, which is great. You just keep increasing your weight as you reach the point where you can tolerate the next level.
Nice.
And then finally, just within the last year, I felt that I still needed one more thing, and that would be cardio. So now I'm doing the treadmill and the recumbent bike and stretching, of course, always. And so I think that I have a nice, well-rounded workout schedule.
That's awesome. And how many days a week do you work out?
Every day.
That's awesome.
Every day. Sometimes two exercises a day. My life does center around exercise a little bit because certain things have times where you must go at a specific time. But in addition to that, I garden and I kayak, and I am so different than the person I was 4 years ago. I remind myself of myself in my 40s.
That's fantastic.
When I was active.
That's fantastic. And so you've also realized kind of on your own that you needed to, we all need to have a little bit of a mix between weight resistance type stuff or anaerobic, where you're not using too much oxygen to do it, and aerobic, where like you're doing the treadmill where you're, and cardio, like you say, where you're using more, you require ongoing intake of oxygen more to be able to maintain the exercise. And people, that is the optimal mix. Is to have anaerobic and aerobic type exercise and to mix it up. So the body's not, you know, those people that walk into a gym 3 days a week or 4 days a week, whatever it might be, and do the exact same workout every time are not going to be doing as well as someone who mixes it up and does gardening today and goes to the gym tomorrow and gets on the treadmill or their bike the next day and mixes up the type of exercise.
Right. They're using a specific set of muscles over and over. And I'm trying to work every part of my body in different ways.
And not let your body get used to it, because there's something called muscle memory. And the idea is the muscles say, all right, she's just going to do the same workout she always does, and we're ready to go, and no big deal. And it's not hard. But then we're going to plateau, and we're not going to get our steps forward and make more progress. So that's awesome that you've mixed it up, and you kind of learned that on your own, it sounds like.
There are days when I don't really want to go and do the cardio. So what I tell myself is, you just have to do 10 minutes on each machine, not 20. So I go there and I do the 10, and then I say, you can do the other 10. It works every time.
Well, that's awesome. So yeah. We even learn our own mind games on ourselves.
Yes.
That's awesome. So this has been fantastic. Thank you so much, Jean. So do you have any tips for other people who want to feel better? What would be sort of your final comments? And then I'm also going to ask you for the one secret that you think would be your top secret for your success.
I think people need to just start. Not make excuses, just start. Put one toe in the water, so to speak. Anything you do that's a positive movement towards your ultimate goal will at least get you started. So maybe just give up bread. Maybe just go and buy a notebook and journal about how you feel. Maybe find a couple new recipes. Change what you eat for breakfast, or stop having bread for sandwiches at lunch and have something different. You know, take one step, because that's what I did. One step at a time, one day at a time, always pointed towards my goal, but steadfastly. It's like walking into the wind. You know, just keep your head down and keep moving forward.
That's fantastic. And I think that is the one tip that people would walk away with, and the fact of just put your toe in the water, mm-hmm. just start, do something that you would look in the mirror and look at yourself and say, that's the one thing I will commit myself to and I will do. And then see how fast that leads to the next step, as long as you're being consistent, and the next step and the next step. So some of the things to summarize, folks, and the tools that have come through, if you've really listened to what Jean has said and how well she has done, we started out with looking through the cupboards and the refrigerator and looking at the ingredients in the different packaged products that are there and realizing, oh my goodness, how much sugar, how much toxins are truly in all that food, and learning how to take those things out and then realizing, oh, wow, let's say 50, 60, 70% of what that was in there was a problem. And then learning how to fill it with healthier things. Next was to keep a journal. I can't emphasize enough to write your goals down and to take a journal every day. How are you feeling? What's been good today? What's your peach and what's your pit? I like to do that with my family at meals even. You know, what was your peach today? Your favorite thing that happened, or your, and not just always emphasize the positive, but what was the pit today too, and you know why, and support someone through that. So you can do that with your own journaling. You can also share things with your family, leading to the next tool, which is to find a community and to find your support system, whether that's going to be combined with your family or whether that's going to be a group outside your house, hopefully both, and whether that's going to also be through a medical provider's community to help you, support you with group visits and other things. Another one is the other tool you mentioned for us, Jean, and I love it, is this whole concept of sitting down and thinking through a mission statement that someone can kind of keep on their refrigerator or up on their wall in their bedroom or in their bathroom or wherever it needs to be, that they're going to see it and remind themselves every day on a consistent basis of what their goals are and why they want to make these changes. And of course, the final one that I wrote down as we've been talking, if you have another one that I missed, but just start. Put your toe in the water and make some positive change for yourself. And you'll be shocked at how many changes start happening just automatically. Would that be about the main things we wanted to hit on, Jean?
That would be it. And then my tip, my secret tip.
Yes, please.
Well, and it's not a huge thing. It's that every morning I make a cup of coffee and sit at the breakfast table and I plan what I am going to eat that day for breakfast, for lunch, and for dinner. I make sure I have that food in the fridge or I put it on my shopping list. And I don't wait until noon and say I'm starving and go searching around for what to eat. I know what I'm going to eat. And I plan ahead so I have that food ready. If I'm going on a car trip, I make sure I've got a healthy snack in the car because there's no rest area that I'm aware of that has a healthy snack that you can grab. When you've been driving for 5 hours and you're starving, you'll eat anything. So, but I have a cooler and I have my food. And if you go to a party, graduation, anything, I always bring two things that I can eat. I went to a birthday party recently. The only thing I could eat at the entire party was the vegetable platter. They had pizzas and they had sub sandwiches and chips and cookies and brownies. And I had brought a small container of chicken salad. And I had brought what I used to do is to buy a gluten-free brownie so that I would stay away from the other treats. But now I don't even crave that. Yeah. So I always show up with chicken salad wherever I go.
That's awesome. Yeah. So the last tool she's just given you as the ultimate secret is to plan ahead and plan your day so that you're not driving around hungry and then saying, oh my goodness, I don't have anything and I don't know what to do. And so you pull into the local gas station and buy, you know, a candy bar. That is not going to help you get where you want to go. So Jean, give me a high five. Listen, that's been so helpful. I really hope, you know, everybody in the world listens to this interview because at the age of, you just said, was 71 years old. You've lost 68 pounds. You've dropped from 11 medications to six, five.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. And you're just doing fantastic.
I am. And I'm going to continue that way too.
Awesome.
Yes.
Well, take care everyone. And thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about the episode and the Discover Health Functional Medicine Center, visit us on our website, discoverhealthfmc.com. We hope you enjoyed this episode and will join us again next time so you can truly live and play as long as you want.